Hey Zen friends, welcome to Crazy Zen Life. I'm your host, Brittany Swan.
And I'm your host, Shannon Kessler. Join us as we navigate life on and off our yoga mats.
This is a podcast about mom life, boss life, and body life.
Real conversations about self-discovery and the journey of becoming more mindful in this crazy Zen life.
I'm crushing this summer.
You are crushing the summer.
Like, no, I'm just crushing today. I take it day by day.
Day by day. Yeah. Day by day. How are your summer goals coming along?
I have to re-listen to that podcast. I think I have high hopes for plants, which they're still alive. Mm-hmm. I killed two of the palms on my deck because I didn't put the hole in the pot so it couldn't drain.
And there's no drainage.
It looks like a swamp in a cup.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
They don't like swamp ass.
I know. But they're like, why it goes, the palms are floating. I'm like, that doesn't look right. But I actually have started to grow oranges.
Oh, really?
And the oranges have orange blossoms. You know, you hear about these fictitious orange blossoms. Right. I actually have some. I'm like, this is great. I have one tomato.
Nice.
Yeah. And I only killed one flower in the front yard.
That's impressive.
That's what I said.
Wow.
I've kept a little bit more patience this year. Okay. And I'm about 50 pages into a book.
What? Hey. Studio applause.
Here we go. Insert applause.
Insert applause here.
How about you?
Well, let's see. I have not fully killed any plants. I mean, I bring them back to life. So yeah. I feel like that's something. Because I've had a couple that I was like, I don't understand. I talk to you. I water you. But then I was finding out that Eleanor was going around watering plants throughout the day just because she got a watering can. Was that from you?
From me.
Yeah. Okay. So she felt compelled that it was her job to every day water them. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, not all of these need water every day. She, like, heard none of that. So once we got
They're
down
drowning.
To the root of, yeah, I'm like, it looks maybe like these have too much water. Eleanor, have you been watering the plants? Yeah, Mom, every day. And I'm like, okay, got it. So I feel like that's a success, that fact that they haven't died. So yeah. That's it. I have read one book fully. And I am, like, into 90 pages of the Michelle Obama book.
That's great.
Yeah.
You can only read, like, 15, like, one page every 15 minutes at the pool.
Right. It's tricky.
It is.
I mean, because you start reading, and you're like, oh, wait, where are my children? All right, here they are. There they go. So, I mean, I love that there are people out there that can spend all day reading a book at a pool.
We'll get there.
One day. Yeah, we will. It's just not, right now, the opportunity I have at the pool. I have to watch my kids dive off the edge and do the exact same trick 15 times. Mom, watch this. Mom, did you see this? Mom, did you watch this? Watch me do this handstand. Watch me do this handstand. Mom, watch this handstand. I'm like, oh, okay. Any chance we can get some variation on said handstand? Nope, this is it. Oh, and they're like, it's so different from the last one. I'm like, was it?
I pointed
it
my again. Pinky right. toe. Exactly. You see that?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
way different.
So that's, I feel like that's been good. I mean, so far, knock on wood, good. Although, I was at swim practice with the girls today, and one of my kids has a play date this afternoon, and Dan was like, yeah, we should do that more often. And I totally snapped. Oh. I was like, today's the first day they haven't had anything on the calendar. Like, what do you mean? He's like, whoa, sorry. Wasn't saying that. Like, hey, Shan, you should initiate more play dates. And I was like, oh, okay. Because that's how I internalized it. And he's like, well, that's not how I meant it. And I'm like, okay, well, thanks for clearing that up. I also just need to restate. This is the first open day they've had all summer.
Well, one thing I do have to point out is that your mom was here for Mimi Camp.
Yes.
And I don't know if she's still listening to the podcast or if she even is. But if she is, I want to give her a major high five.
Yes.
And I cannot believe all the things she did.
No.
With a smile and let's go attitude. She went to amusement parks. She took them overnight to Nashville to the Opryland and did the water parks. She had all kinds of fun stuff planned every single day. Yeah. It was amazing.
It was amazing.
And it's four girls.
Children. Yeah, around the same age. I mean, within 3 years of each other, some of them months. And it was a lot. Like, I think she was so ready to go home, like, just to be like, grandchildren, I love you, but go.
I have to admit, if grandparent award on that one.
Yeah.
And to go back to your point about Dan adding that little tidbit, my gosh, like, I would have probably flipped my lid too.
Because,
I know he wasn't saying it, but immediately what we internalize is that I'm already doing so much, and then I have to do that, and I'm not enough.
Am I not enough?
Am I not doing enough in the summer? I feel like I'm losing my fucking shit over here.
Right. Right.
I know.
Yeah. So that's definitely, yeah. Well, yeah, hats off to me and being able to, and getting it all done. They didn't kill each other. Like, they got along. I was concerned. I was like, how's this going to go? But you're right. I don't know. I'm a little bit loopy. I'm gonna put this out there. I have been fighting a massive sinus infection since we got back from Chicago. I can barely hear out of my headphones right now. I'm like, I don't feel like I sound the same. So if you're like, what's wrong with Shannon? Not operating at 100%.
I feel like you sound great. Oh, I feel like you still sound like your chipper self.
Well, thanks. I'm having a really hard time connecting the synapses up here today. Like, what's not computing? What's going on here?
Don't worry, boo. I got you.
Okay.
Good. Lifeboat mentality.
Keep rolling, girl.
Lifeboat. Got you, girl. So today, on today's episode, we wanted to share a little bit of the stigma around, are you enough? And what women kind of deal with on a daily basis of feeling not qualified to either take the next step in their life or just move forward in some way.
Right. And there are some people who might not feel qualified to be where they are currently, not even to move on to that. And you're like, look, I can't even handle what I have on my plate. How can I possibly add A, B, or C? Girls, we have been there. We are living it. We do it all the time. But we wanted to talk a little bit more about, like, why? Why does this happen? Like, why do we feel this way as women? Do men feel this way? You know, like, the difference between the two. And just, you know, these are the things that come up when Brittany and I start talking about.
Yeah, and we also when we talk with other people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And not just with our husbands, because sometimes there's like a big disconnect. Like, why don't they feel the same way that we do? Why are they not having doubts and internal conflict or internal struggles? They're just like bebopping around acting like they're living their best day.
Right.
Or I'm like questioning all the things that I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's our genetic makeup, or maybe we can start breaking down some of the stigmas and moving forward in a different way. That's what I was really looking forward to.
Yeah. Let's dive right in.
Yeah.
So when we were doing some research about this, well, do you want to talk about the first part? Okay, so you want to talk about the unqualified part first?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. there's a really interesting article on Slate.com, and it was, do women everywhere suck at their jobs? And I was like, interesting. Why do women everywhere suck at their job? Because most women don't even apply for a position unless they feel they are 100% qualified and can check off every prerequisite. And if you find one little piece of doubt in your resume, you're like, nope, I'm not ready for that job. I'm not qualified for that job. I'm not even going to apply. Whereas men only need to feel 60%
of the checklist.
Yeah. They apply if they just have 60% of the prerequisites.
Which that is so amazing, because I can, number one, I've been in that position. I've not applied for stuff and didn't feel like I was qualified. Show up, put my best self on, but I was like, I didn't nail that. In addition to that, I was just talking to a girlfriend the other day, and she applied for a job. She was legitimately qualified.
Yeah.
And I said, you were made for this job. This job is made for you. You've worked so hard to get here. She still had so many doubts about it and doubts in herself. She's like, oh, it's just not meant to be. And
right.
But still, she put her big girl pants on. She walked in. I was so amazed at, even though she had so much doubt, she still was able to walk into that room and land the job. But what if she didn't have those thoughts?
Mm-hmm.
What would happen if she could shed some of that?
Right.
So in your research, what did you find about the perfectionism?
Well, there was quite a bit. I think women tend to, like, they doubt themselves, which also tends to push them further in their expectations. So they're going to push themselves further, and they're going to push themselves harder because they are doubting that they are good enough to be in that spot to begin with. So it's like, well, I'm just going to prove you wrong. I'm going to put my head down. I'm going to get this job done. I'm going to do it. And a lot of that just comes from being insecure of, am I really qualified to be here? Can I really show up for the job that I was given? And that female employees tend to apologize more, not because they're addicted to saying sorry, but because they have a lower threshold of thinking that they've committed an offense. Mm. So it's like, oh, I must have offended this person. I'm going to go ahead. Oh, I'm sorry. You know what? I said I was going to have that to you at this time. I'm so sorry. Men don't say that. men are not apologizing profusely. Mm-mm. Like, I don't know the statistic, but I'm sure it would be interesting how many more times a day a woman says sorry versus the four times a man might say it during a day.
It's like 1,000 to 1.
Yeah. I mean, do you know people that apologize for everything?
Oh, I think I fall into one of those. I try not to. I use words instead of, mm-hmm, I'm sorry. Like, if you're late.
Yeah.
Like, thank you for being patient. Mm-hmm. But those are hard.
Yeah.
Because we're constantly reprogramming ourselves to say, mm-hmm, different words, but it's still, like, embedded in our brain. Like, be mannerly. Be grateful for everything around you. And I even, when I missed a deadline to have a copy to Tops recently, mm-hmm, and I was like, oh, okay, I got it. And immediately I felt the need to put I'm sorry and an excuse behind it.
Right.
I doubt a man would ever do that.
Right.
So how can we shed that and let that go?
Yeah. And a lot of that comes from women tend to be more perfectionists or have more perfectionism type qualities than men, where men are, they are more internal, like, they see themselves as, I got this, the confidence does come from, like, it's a me mentality. I'm gritty. I work hard. I hustle. This is why this happened. Where women tend to externally put the emphasis on the external, like, I got really lucky, or I had a great team that helped me get there. And it's really interesting to look at the dichotomy of men and women when it comes to success and what they think. But women are way more likely to think a team first. Like, I would not be here if it wouldn't be for my team, which, mm-hmm, is true. And I think men have this. And they, every man who has a team behind him, you got there because you had a great team. You may have led your great team, but your team is also doing things that you're not doing.
It wasn't just God and your mama.
Right. I mean, there's a whole bunch of people.
A whole bunch of people
doing the things. Mm-hmm. So that it was really, when diving into that article, I was like, wow, this is, there's so many similarities and there's just so many, like, relatable things that you're like, yes, as women, we do feel less perfect in every sense, but we expect perfection. And that's where we get into trouble with, feeling like the perfectionism holds us back. Because people who are led by perfectionism are really being driven to avoid the failure. So they create these expectations that may not even be their own. They're trying to live up to an expectations that somebody else has set either for them or about them. Mm-hmm. Because the insecurity that you have on the inside isn't necessarily your issue. It is you trying not to disappoint someone else's expectation or standard of you.
And it could be just society.
It could be society. You're like, well, I'm a working mom and I've got to be able to make, homemade lunches in cute little shapes, or I've got to have,
the organic fruit, like, all cut up and perfect snacks.
And I've got to spend 17 hours a week, with my girlfriends, and I've got to spend 20 hours a week with my husband, and then all the other time, like,
my kids have to be well-rounded. I'm like, my kids are going to be octagons.
Right.
It's true.
It's so true.
Like, I'm tired. I'm exhausted trying to make my kids well-rounded.
Right.
Can you have edges, please? Right. And then it'll be fine.
And then you'll be fine. You're going to be fine.
I mean, it is exhausting trying to make everything well-rounded.
Yeah.
And so we get all these stigma, like, all the things we need to do. And we've all seen the memes. And we, mm-hmm, all internalize. And we all know, like, what we need to do. But at the end of the day, if we don't check all of those boxes, how do we feel about our self-worth?
Right.
And how does that push you forward the next day? Because, mm-hmm, all that shit you had the day before.
Right.
We talk about the post-it notes.
Yeah.
It still comes with you.
Mm-hmm.
So your mental state still comes with you.
Exactly. You're either going to clear it out or the clutter keeps cluttering.
Like, clutter fucking tastic. And I will point out that even when we've had some males into our studio, which they're very grateful for everything that they have, mm-hmm, and they've always had a lot of accolades, they do offer gratitude differently than a woman.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to see when we ask the question, and sometimes we do, sometimes we don't, but who they're willing to offer gratitude towards. And, mm-hmm, I think that is very poignant, and even in this podcast that I've discovered. And it's great to offer a little bit of gratitude around your team.
It is.
I think that that's something great about women, that, mm-hmm, we see the big picture. We're like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. It took a lot to get here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so just going back to that point.
But okay, so I wanted to talk about, there is like an underlining theme with a lot of that article of like an imposter syndrome, where it's like, I don't really belong here. I'm going to fake it till I make it kind of thing. And it, these, like, they're, you know, you live in the fear of like someone's going to call you out on it. Like, why are you here? You don't belong here. You're not smart enough to be at this table. Or what? How did you even get a seat on this board? Or like, how did you get this job? I don't understand. You can't even do A, B, or C. So it does become like an internal struggle of like, oh my God, they're going to find out I'm not smart enough to be here. That's it. I mean, I remember in college, my freshman year, calling my mom like halfway through the first semester, being like crying to her. I'm like, I'm not smart enough to be here. They gave me an in and I shouldn't be here, Mom. I can't do this. This can't is too hard. Mm-hmm. She's like, yes, you can. You got the same grades as everybody else who got there. Like, that's why you're here. Like, they wouldn't have let you in if they didn't think you could do it. And I mean, she gave me a great pep talk and I wanted to come home and she's like, no. You want to come home, you
buy
come home
some
at
Oreos
the end
and get over it.
Of your freshman year, not your first semester. Everything sucks the first time around. Like, mm-hmm. Your first biology test is going to suck. Nobody goes into it thinking, this is amazing. That's not a one.
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
And look, it's true.
My fifth biology test still sucks. Yeah. But
right. Not going to go there. Yeah. So, I mean, you do have that doubt. And because it's easier sometimes to fall into the dark than it is to let that light, like, you've got the light in you. And the light sometimes is what you can fear. We'll talk about that in a minute. But the imposter syndrome, I see that, like, often. And, I mean, I did you ever read Lean In by Sheryl Sandberg?
I didn't. But I've heard enough people
talk
about it.
Yeah.
I feel like
it's she talks a lot about like she felt like she was an imposter and she was just waiting for like some. They're just gonna call me out. Like I don't really know what I'm doing. I mean, but she obviously knows what she's doing. She does great. But I think as women, again, it's that whole like you just want to feel. You feel you're most prepared when you can check every box. But there was a great quote about perfectionism becoming a way, or becomes a way to ward off failure and shame, and yet it sets such a high standard for performance that the nitpicker still feels disappointed when her gleaming accomplishments aren't shining. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, dang, it's so true. Like, so, so true. So we wanted to talk a little bit about perfectionism versus, like, high achieving kind of.
And to take real-world example into that is, I don't know who watched the debate last night, and by the time it, you know, or by the time this releases a couple of weeks ago. And so there's three women and seven men on the panel. It was very interesting to see the breakdown of men interrupting whenever they felt they needed to, mm-hmm. women standing back and letting that happen. Now, don't get me wrong, all the women up there were severely poised and clear, concise, and direct about all their points. But I really didn't hear a lot of, I feel like they probably were internally like, should I interject? Should I not? Mm-hmm. Is this like, am I in a new arena? Should I do that? Or what is the polite thing to do? Because women and men looked at differently based on. Like, men can be seen as, oh, you're just being a man. Like, you're being a strong man. But a woman interjects, is she being a bitch?
Well, yeah, that's, when you point that up, I was like, no, they're just like, they're trying to be like, listen, motherfucker, it ain't your turn to talk. Like,
right.
Stop interrupting.
I was very impressed by that. I'm like, not one time did they, like, interrupt.
Right.
And internally, I wonder if they were struggling with that. Did they feel like they had a spot on this stage on purpose? Or did they question? Or so it was just one of those thoughts I had last night, like showing up to the table.
Right. Did they feel like they
not speaking, being silent? Because being silent can mean two things. Mm-hmm. You're feeling unsure or you're feeling like super fucking confident. And you're just like, I'll interject when I need to. So,
right.
Yeah. I wonder what that was.
Could have been. Sometimes you just want to let people self-destruct on your own. You're like, you two fight this out. See how that works out for you.
Some went down enough.
I'm going to be over here.
And I love watching these debates. It is one of my favorite things because something always goes wrong and someone always says just one comment. I'm like, that's going to leave a mark.
Yep. The great debate.
The great debate.
And you enjoy the debates.
Yeah. Let's go. Yeah. Where are we going?
High achieving versus perfectionism. So we're going to play a little game.
Play a little game.
Called Are You Perfectionist? So just a
spoiler alert, probably not.
High achieving attributes, they are determined, they're dedicated, they have a strong desire to accomplish, and they don't fear failure. Perfectionism, driven by the avoidance of failure, trying to be perfect, then avoid that. They're trying to be perfect and trying to avoid not being good enough. And these things can be linked to depression, anxiety, eating disorders, suicide, blah, blah. So, few questions if you resonate with these. You cannot accept or celebrate your success.
Very hard.
It's very hard?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What do you have, like...
I think that when I have success in any kind of way, I immediately think that I could have done better.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's like the number one as a perfectionist. It's never good enough. You find flaws in your accomplishments, and even when the outcome is what you wanted, it's still not good enough.
Mm-hmm. When I'm solo. If I'm solo doing this with you, if I'm doing something with you, I'm like, that was the best, because I know that we do things well together. I think that could be something different.
Yeah. But no, that's. Do you allow yourself to make mistakes instead of seeing them as an opportunity?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. A lot of people will criticize themselves because it's less than a perfect outcome. So even if they got like 100%, it's... well, it should have been 110, or it shouldn't have been that hard to get like where they're going. So that's interesting. But being able to learn from a mistake, realizing that the mistake is an opportunity to learn.
I think that's a 30-year-old thing, though. Like, I think in my 20s, I wouldn't think I would have been able to realize that. I think now that I'm mid-20s or mid-30s.
You know, it's weird. I feel like I have always said I'm thankful for every speed bump I've ever gotten. And I don't know. I think I'm just, again, an old soul. Sometimes I feel like that's a lesson I got from a lifetime ago that I'm like, I've always been very thankful and very grateful for my mistakes. You put up a front insisting everything is perfect.
Ooh, no. Do not do that.
But have you felt, but you've fought with this in the past.
Oh, 5 years ago, completely different. Wanted to be someone else I wasn't, for sure.
Avoid, like, you were afraid of being judged, or you wanted to be viewed as being, not you personally, but want to be viewed as being perfect and making perfection look easy.
Oh, yes. I wanted to make it look like I woke up like this.
That you live in Pinterest?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
It's too hard.
Right. I think kids really help you realize that you ain't, you're never going to be perfect.
No, that's called walking into my house.
Right. We were talking earlier about how, like, it's kind of like the duck. Like, a duck looks like it just gloating again. No, I'm so sorry.
Gliding
on water. And underneath, like, its little feet are just moving so fast.
So fast.
But you just don't see the effort in the duck.
I feel like Daffy Duck was the only honest duck there ever was, except, I mean, he didn't really wear clothes, which I appreciated, because, I mean, like, I didn't get the shirt thing. But also, he was just, like, angry and working hard all the time.
Well, you know, it's funny.
I feel like that's what ducks do.
Donald Duck's kind of a curmudgeon, too.
Yeah.
He's a little pissy.
Except the ducks.
I don't know. Why is Donald in a sailor suit?
Because Walt Disney's brother was a sailor.
Oh, really?
Was in the Navy.
Was his name Donald?
I don't know.
Huh.
Good question.
That's a good question.
I learned that I went on a shuttle bus on the way to Disney one time.
Oh, that's the best.
I was like,
isn't it funny how that knowledge will stick in your brain, but, like, I can't remember the days my kids have tennis practice. I'm like, oh, God, is that today? Shit.
Oh, I can't remember to get toilet paper. Totally agree.
Yeah. Okay. Do you avoid challenges that may cause you to fail?
Sometimes. That's a sometimes one. Mm-hmm. I've been saying yes to things that are outside my box a little bit more to challenge myself. But this is recent.
This is good. Okay. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of growth going on with you, Brittany. I really like this. It's good.
just the lotus over here.
Do you believe your likability is linked to being perfect?
No, but I used to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I used to think that if I held it all together, then you know, I had a lot of cracks, but if I didn't let the glue show.
Right.
That everyone would like me more.
Mm-hmm.
But little do you know, people like you way more.
Oh, yeah. When, I mean, gosh, we just love that y'all show up for our shit show as often as
all
you do.
All the time.
Because, I mean, it's out there. We put it out there for you. And does your life not satisfy you?
The people in my life do.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I always want a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Oh, what else can I be doing?
Mm-hmm.
And then I wake up.
Yeah.
You know, we did, and it's like you want to do all these things and then your kids wake up.
Right.
You're like, oh, okay, well, that went out the window.
Yep, about that.
I think this is a fine line between perfectionism, and you can have some of these can weigh heavy.
Oh, yeah.
So if you answered one of the questions like heavy yes, that heavy yes can carry with you.
I think too, it's just like identifying it and you seeing it. I don't think there's anything, you know, if you're consumed by perfectionism and you realize, like, perfectionism does not, like, there is no sense of perfect anything. Like, balance will need to come into play, and balance only happens in moments anyway. It's not like anything is balanced for a long period of time. Mm-hmm. It's just not possible. It's not, it's literally like chasing after something that will not exist. So if you strive for excellence in things, knowing that your personal best is all that matters, and it doesn't matter what and then that could be someone else's, like, oh, really, your best is this? That's like me on my very worst day. I'm like, oh, you know what, we're so relatable. Look at that one time you were super shitty and I was at my best. Yeah. I mean, like, at some point you just say fuck it, like, I don't really care, like, whatever you think it's gonna be, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. Like, so letting go of the idea that it's got to look a certain way or be a certain way. And I mean, I do think that it is something that if you're, like, you're lucky enough to get into in your 30s and you start to, you know, just play around in that space a little bit more, you're like, yes, this feels more like home for me than the, you know, perfection or the expectation of perfection ever did. Mm-hmm. Just, I mean, I like imperfect people the most.
Well, I think when you kind of shed those layers and then you get around people that are dipping their toe into that arena, mm-hmm. a little bit, they want to learn more. I'm like, okay, so I see your shit show.
Well, yeah. And I think, I mean, it's hard because I think a lot of us, you know, maybe grew up in families with, there was an expectation of, you know, you have to keep your room clean, or this is, you know, the expectations were set super high. And there's nothing wrong with having high expectations, but knowing that you're not, like, your worth isn't based on how well you can make a bed or how well your quiche came out of the oven, like, or how perfect your lunch is that you send with your kids. Like, that's not how you determine your value on this planet. And I think once you kind of get out of that realm of, like, it doesn't have to look like this, the freedom is luxurious.
Mm-hmm. It really is. Because then you kind of give yourself permission, which we've talked about in the past, but giving yourself permission to be the person you are meant to be right now, yes. because you're always evolving, is one of the most liberating things you can do. Mm-hmm. Give yourself grace. Give yourself permission. Because when you do,
right,
you let your own little light shine. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you want to read that quote?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So a couple weeks ago, I was in Florida, and I took a yoga class, and it was one of those ones that, well, first of all, I walked into the studio, and it's one of the nicest studios I've ever been to. I was like, dang, this place is beautiful. I was like, I don't know if I should be here. Like,
what is going
this
on?
Is really, really nice. Do you have it pulled up?
No.
Oh, okay. I can find it. But I go in, and I mean, it's packed. Like, this place is super packed, and they were like, do we have anybody new here? And I was like, I know, I'm not shy. I'm like, I raise my hand. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I am. Everybody turns around, and then everybody claps. And I'm like, hey. You know, I'm like doing like the pageant wave. And I was like, wow.
I would have so chosen the queen wave there. Yeah.
Hey, this is great. So it was really kind of fun because I was not expecting.
You already had cheerleaders.
I did. So you automatically feel like, wow, this is
included,
awesome.
Inclusive. Mm-hmm.
Right. And she, the instructor was really great, and she asked if anybody had heard this quote by Marianne Williamson. And when she said it, I was like, I don't think I've ever heard that. And then as soon as I left the class, I had to get this down. And it's, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You're playing small. Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. You were born to make manifest the glory that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. We are liberated from our own fear. Our presence automatically liberates others.
Boom. Just a mic drop right there.
Right. I mean.
So basically a lot of things I heard too, and that is you can define your own sense of excellence.
Yeah.
Through that.
Yeah.
it's not what is, it's what you expect of your, it's not society or yeah. the external. It is all what you think that you are self-worth.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, I love that.
Resonated a lot with that.
Yeah, that, you know, your, what your honest truth, your most, at the core of who you are is your light. And for that to be something that you're afraid because you don't know how it's going to be perceived by others. I love that that's what she was like, no, that's where the fear comes from. Like, that's where you learn to tiptoe and take small steps because you're just not sure how it's going to make other people feel. And at the end of the day, that's, again, it's a journey. And when you finally get there and you realize, huh, I don't want to be small. I want to be big.
That's a great question to ask yourself.
Mm-hmm.
How are you being small? Are you being your biggest self?
Right.
If you peacock out, like,
yeah.
Or are you afraid to? Because you can't, I guess you can't bring those feathers back in. I don't really know.
Speaking of, did you know Eagle Pose, like, got, like, the, in, what is it? The, I don't know, back in the day when the Eagle Pose was came about. The eagle had wings that stretched from, like, one edge of the earth to the other. And whatever God told him, like, put your wings away. And then made him curl up. I was like, oh, you just made that eagle smaller because you didn't like his wings. I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to teach eagle pose anymore. Like, I don't want anybody to ever feel small. Like, stretch your arms.
Screw you, compression poses.
Screw you, right. Like, don't you feel small, eagle? You stretch out your arms.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I know. When I found that, I was like, huh.
Looky there.
Okay. So if you ever do teach eagle pose, definitely let the wings grow too, just to balance it out.
That's a beautiful way to think.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to that, I do feel really connected with that, like, failure to launch.
Mm-hmm.
And I do feel like as women, that's one thing we fail to do. We hold that in, and we don't want to launch ourselves forward with our wings and with our light.
Why do you feel like you have failure?
Like, I'll procrastinate a lot.
Oh, okay.
Like, I will put something off, or I'll be like, oh, you know, I'll do 8,000 other things other than this thing over here.
Mm-hmm.
But really, I do have the time. I'm quote-unquote busy,
right?
Using air quotes. And then I really am not busy. I can be doing this, but I don't feel like I am either qualified or ready for this. My mm-hmm. wings are wrapped up, I guess.
You're wrapping
so your wings. I think that and just recently, I have been able to shed a little bit of like that, and I ask myself, why are you doing this?
Right.
Why are you procrastinating? What is holding you back? Why are you avoiding this? Because when you put avoidance to something,
yeah,
there's obviously an internal conflict.
Mm-hmm.
It can be with anything. Relationships.
Yeah.
A project. Something. A conversation. So that's one thing I'm like, well, if there's a procrastination, then I need to address it.
Right.
So putting something out there that maybe is your best, but still knowing that even if it's comes back and it's not exactly perfect,
yeah,
that you will survive.
It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
I got a question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
Wrapping this thing up. What is your favorite summertime movie?
Ooh, favorite summertime movie. Oh, gosh.
It's a tricky one. Because you know you have those ones that just speak to you in the summer.
Right. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I can guess yours.
Yes.
But do you remember Summer School back in the day with Rodney Dangerfield?
Oh, no. That? Is that the one with...
No, wait a minute. Oh, gosh. It wasn't Rodney Dangerfield that was in that one.
Summer School.
It's really funny. These kids are in California. Like, Courtney Smith was in it from Miller's Place. You remember the blonde Courtney?
Yeah.
That, I remember watching that when I was younger, probably inappropriately young for...
We all did in the 80s.
Oh, my God, all of it.
Like, but I don't know where my parents were.
I was at my
but it just went to PG to R, so they're like, listen, there's a lot of in-between.
Right. There's like, as long as it's not R, it's fine. And you're like, okay, it's great. I loved that movie. I don't know if I had, like, a childhood one. I don't know. Probably, I mean, because I had summer in it.
Yeah, I think, well, ours right now is Sandlot. We've been watching it on the regs.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know that Disney put out a lot of, like, I didn't remember there being bad words in it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's bad Disney, so I was like, oh, yeah. It's fine. But, like, there's like, a couple dammits, which at my house, I don't care. They've heard a lot worse.
Yeah.
And there's, like, a shit a couple times. So I'm like, okay, all right, not too bad. But it's just when your kids start repeating it, like, inappropriate places. They're like, damn it! I'm like, God, you use that with such great inflection.
Right. I mean, the first time my kid dropped an F-bomb, I was like, wow, it was committed, and it was in the right context. Do I applaud her for her use of the F-bomb, or do I say, let's not? I mean, that was the internal struggle. I was like, I'm actually really proud that she did that in the right way, but
yeah.
I shouldn't tell a three-year-old, good job.
I will say, so there's one part in the movie, and I highly recommend watching this movie again with your children, and it's there's a lot of, like, 90s situations that you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe, like, this, but it's really good. One part is when they talk about being able to play ball like a girl, and it's, like, a bad thing. Being the true well-rounded mother that I am, I pushed pause, and I was like, and I got up in front of the TV, I'm like, listen, I'm gonna school all of you. And I mean I could feel, like, Landon's eyes, like, roll to the back of his head. He's like, now we're taking this,
it's a learning opportunity, babe. Like, I've gotta do it.
Like, mom, just can you push play? And Luna, my token girl, she's like, just push play, mom. I'm like, okay. Like, no, being able to play ball like a girl is a good thing. I know, right? It's just funny.
I love it.
And I still do every time. Like, listen,
right?
Like, we know, mom.
They're gonna know.
Yeah, we know. It's not a bad word.
It's not bad. Being girl is great. Throw a ball like a girl.
And last question.
Yes.
What's your favorite 4th of July food?
Ooh, a favorite 4th of July food.
What does 4th of July food mean to you? Like, what's the
grilled?
What's the one?
Anything grilled. I mean, hot dogs, hamburgers. Coleslaw, like a true picnic type mentality, like the Ruffles potato chips with the French onion dip, like that's like
so good.
Yeah, and gosh,
got you.
Growing up, I loved eating coleslaw and mustard on my hot dogs, like that,
I
like the
too.
North Carolina style
of
doing
North
it.
Carolina,
yeah. And loved it. So, I mean, but I'm picky about the kind of slaw that goes on my hot dog.
It's got to be vinegar.
Yeah, it's got to be vinegar based.
It can't be all mayonnaise-y.
But it has to have some creaminess to it. But it can't be like, it's just, I mean, you can do, you know, you do you. But it's just, I'm
super
picky about it. I like
putting baked beans on my hot dog with mustard.
Okay.
And dipping the chips in the black beans, or not black beans.
Yeah, the chips in the baked beans, like that's like a fry in the Frosty for me. Like that's.
Or Cheeto and applesauce.
What about you? What's your favorite summertime food?
I would have to go strawberry shortcake.
Mmm.
Or
one
good peach. Can I just get one?
Just one. One. Delicious, ooey gooey, that when you bite into it.
Do we have any people from trips. South Carolina that can send us
please,
really good peaches?
Right.
Because we choked up here.
Right. It's sad.
Low budget.
Because, I mean, there's nothing more disappointing than biting into what looks like is going to be the peach.
It's
and then
ratchet.
You get into it and it's like mushy and like weird. Like that texture is just terrible.
Terrible. Terrible.
Herbal.
This has been fun.
This has been fun. Thanks for recording.
Thanks for sharing your time with us. Help keep the CZL momentum going by rating our podcast and writing a review.
If you love what you heard in today's episode, snap a screenshot and post it to your Instagram stories.
Don't forget to tag us.